Good deal. All right. I'm excited to be with you guys tonight. Now, over the last couple of weeks, what has Corey really been hitting on with you guys? Family, yes. He's been hitting on this idea that you are family, that you guys are truly family. And through that, he's been hitting on, you know, the idea of belonging, that we really want you guys to belong, that we want you to know that you do belong to this group, that you are a part of this group, that you are a family, and you all belong. And then he's been hitting on care, that, you know, we want you all to truly be caring for one another and to lift each other up and to journey alongside of each other and live life together. And part of this idea of us being a family is that we are also in fellowship with one another and that we are in community with one another. And an aspect of fellowship and community that I think a lot of times, you know, we overlook and we kind of throw to the curb is this idea of friendship. And I think a lot of us really don't understand what true friendship looks like and what true biblical friendship is all about. So tonight, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at what true, godly, biblical friendship is really about. And so when I began to prepare for this talk, I was just curious. So I just wanted to see how many friends, you know, I had on Facebook. And so I got on there the other day, and I was shocked. And it said I almost had almost 1,600 friends. 1,600. That is a ton of people that it says are my friends. You know, my initial thought is, wow, 1,600. Like, I am super popular. Everyone knows me. Like, I'm famous. You know, I should have my own Twitter page. Like, I just thought it was awesome. And so I just clicked on them. I was like, I want to see how many people know me. So I began to scroll through, and I was like, no, don't know her. Don't know who that guy is. No, never talked to you. I don't even know how to pronounce your name. And so I just caught myself realizing, it says I have 1,600 friends, but it's more like, you know, I don't know any of them. I don't have 1,600 friends. I don't have 600 friends. I mean, if I'm having a birthday party, I'm not sending out 1,600 invites, trust me. I'm probably not going to send out 50 invites. But if you look at my Facebook page, it says what? It says I have 1,600 friends. And in today's world, I feel like we have lost this concept of friendship. You know, we think friendship is just as easy as, you know, going to a computer screen and clicking add friend, or Facebook chatting with someone, or, you know, following them on Twitter, or maybe even, you know, retweeting them. Like, yes, that you are best friends if you retweet somebody. And so, you know, we have really lost touch with this. We think it's this, you know, you just say hi to them in the hallway when you're walking through school, or, you know, maybe you sit with them at lunch and give them a chicken nugget on chicken nugget day. Like, that is what we think of when we think of friendship. And so we really don't have this clear idea of what true friendship is. And honestly, what we're seeing is this highly overuse and misuse of the word friend. You know, we tag people as friends, but we don't even know them. You know, you don't know their dislikes. You don't know their hopes and their dreams and what really pushes them. And you don't know anything about their family. You know, all you really know is what's on their Facebook page or, you know, what's on their Twitter page. And what we're seeing is this really large overuse of the word friend. And when we see biblically, God has intended the word friend to be a word that is truly cherished, that is taken very serious. It's almost sacred. You know, he has intended the word friend to be someone that you claim that you care deeply about and that cares deeply about you, that you really do journey together and you do life together and you love one another and you care for one another. And a friend is someone to be cherished and taken very seriously. And we really have caught ourselves, you know, overusing this word. So tonight, that's what we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at what is true, godly, biblical friendship all about. And so I think for us to understand friendship and understand its importance and its seriousness is we have to go to where friendship started. We have to see where it came from and why it's so important. And so I know for many of us, we would assume that friendship started where? Anybody take a guess? Adam and Eve, yes. We would assume that. But if you look biblically, you don't see that. Friendship started way before that ever, way before Adam and Eve ever existed. The God of the Bible, the God of that we serve is Trinitarian, okay? He's Trinitarian in nature. So we're going to get kind of deep really quick, so just bear with me. But what I mean is that he is three in one. You know, I know that many of you have probably sang songs about it. You know that you've heard Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What that's saying is our God is three individual people, all with the very same nature of God. He is Trinitarian. And what we see about God is that he is a God of relationships, that since forever, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have been in perfect community with one another, have been in perfect fellowship with one another. They have had relationships since forever. Another way of putting it, they have had a perfect friendship since the beginning of time. And so what we see is that God is a God of relationships. He, in and of himself, is in a relationship. So it's easy for us to see that in the creation story, when God created man, what was the first thing he said? Does anybody remember? It is not good that man should be alone. We all know that. He said, it is not good that man should be alone. This is the first time that we see God say that something is not good. And what we know about man and what we know about us is that we are created in the image of God. And so with that being said, with God, as we just talked about, is a God of relationships. He has designed us in his image, which means we too desire relationships. So as soon as God created man, he's like, no. Something's messed up. He needs somebody. He can't do this on his own. It is crucial that he has a relationship. It is crucial for his survival that he has relationship. And so what does he do? Creates Eve, right? And Eve comes alongside Adam, and she has many different roles. You know, she has the role of helper. She has the role of wife. She has to bear children, be fruitful, and multiply. But Eve also has the role of being Adam's companion. She used to come alongside of him and be his friend, to care for him, to love on him. And so what we see is from the beginning is that God has designed us for relationships. He has designed us to be in community with one another, to be in fellowship with one another, and to be in friendships with one another. And so that is what we're going to be looking at tonight. And so we're going to be in the book of Proverbs. So if you guys want to go ahead and get your Bibles out, that's where we're going to be. But I really think that this idea of friendship, this concept of friendship, has really been lost in our culture. And so I want you guys to take tonight seriously, because we don't know what it means to be a true friend. I know as I began studying this and looking into it, I realized I'm not a very good friend, okay? And I have areas that I really need to be working in. And then I realized that I have some people in my lives that really aren't that good of friends. And so this is applicable to all of us. So like I said, we're going to be in Proverbs. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, we're going to be kind of sporadic with our verses. And so if you feel like that will get you distracted and you'll lose focus by trying to flip pages as we switch points, then don't worry about it. I've put the verses on the screen. And so if you do think, if you're one of those people that, you know, your mind goes crazy if you have to do a bunch of things, well, then don't worry about it. Put your Bible up, and I promise you it will be on the screen, and you can follow along that way, because I really want you guys to be able to take notes and pay attention. So before we get going, I'm going to pray, and then we will jump right into it. Father, I thank you for this evening. God, I thank you for just the opportunity to speak to these students, to just let them know about friendship and let them know its importance, God, and that you truly desire for us to be in relationships, but you desire for us to be in the right relationships and true biblical friendships where we love one another and care for one another. So, Father, I pray for this time. I pray that we are attentive. I pray that we put away distractions and we truly focus in on you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're going to be looking at three characteristics of a true friend, okay? The first characteristic we're going to be looking at is that a true friend is devoted. A true friend, they are devoted. Proverbs 17:17 says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. This verse can be simplified into saying that you know who your true friends are when those tough times come. When you're going through that difficult time, you know what friends will be there for you. And I know you all understand what I'm talking about. You know the person that you can call at 2:00 in the morning when you're going through something, or if you're broke down on the side of the road, that will come and give you assistance, drop everything they're doing. You know who those friends are. And I'll tell you, if you're sitting here and you don't think you have any of those friends, I would tell you that maybe you need to get some, because you need those type of friends. And if you don't have any, it's, you know, maybe it's because you're not that type of friend. And maybe, you know, you're not displaying that characteristic of being devoted, and so no one's going to be devoted to you. But I think one thing about our friendships where we begin to mess up is we find ourselves being undevoted friends. And what I mean by that is we go into relationships with this idea of me. It's all about me. It's selfish, me-centered. You know, how can this person benefit me? You know, we say, are they cool? Are they popular? Are they funny? Do they have good parties? You know, all these various things. Are parents rich? Or how does this person benefit me? How does me being a friend with them make me look better? And what we see with that type of relationship is that it doesn't last, is that it is built up on lies. It's built up on selfish ambitions, and it's not going to last. And what we need is true friendship. Those people that care about you no matter what, no matter who you are, no matter what you're going through. Like the verse says, they will love you at all times, and that a brother is born for adversity. So then those times of adversity, you know they're going to be right there beside of you, journeying with you, working with you, laboring with you. That's a true friend. I'm in a fraternity, or I was in a fraternity. When you get married, they kick you out. So I'm not in it anymore. But being honest, most of the people in the fraternity have no concept of friendship. I'm just going to be honest. Their idea of friendship is drinking buddies, hanging out at parties, hitting on girls. That is what they base friendships on. And it's so surface level. And they say, you know, brothers for life. And I promise you, I mean, if you're going to join a fraternity, I'm sorry, but it's really not that true. I mean, none of them were in my wedding. And so, honestly, you just see that they don't have any concept of friendship. Sorry, I got on a tangent. But there was one guy in the fraternity. His name was Brigham. And I absolutely loved Brigham. And everybody loved Brigham. And if you looked at him, he was a great friend. He really was. If he was friends with you, he was truly devoted to you. He cared about you. And I remember a story from my freshman year. We had another brother who had a family member that passed away, and he was really upset. And obviously, you know, his family was going through a hard time. He was upset about the death, but he was really upset because he lived 6 hours away and he couldn't get home and he didn't have a car. And so he was distraught. He wanted to be home with his family, wanted to be taking care of his family, but he couldn't. And I remember Brigham approached him one day and was like, "Hey man, what's going on?" You know, and he told him the story of what happened, and he's like, "Listen, I really want to be home with my family. I really want to be taking care of my family right now, but I can't, you know, it's 6 hours away and I don't have a car." And Brigham was like, "Hey, just take my car." I mean, the guy gives him his car keys, and he's like, "Hey, I'm going to be gone a week, you know, with funeral visitation, with family." He's like, "I don't care. Take my car." And so Brigham, I know it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but Brigham went without a car for a week because he was devoted to that friend, because he cared enough for that friend, and he knew that he needed to be with his family. He was suffering through a difficult time, and he loved him through it, and he cared for him through it. That is a true friend, someone that is with you no matter what. And I also think of a more recent example. You all know, is Hunter and Tyler in here? Hunter, Tyler, yeah. Hunter Busey and Tyler Noel back there. Well, as you know, we went to Snowcross a few weeks ago, and it's really funny. If you've seen, Tyler broke his arm. Did that at Snowcross. So, anyways, I remember I'm in the lodge, and I've literally just gotten my gear on. It's been like 10 minutes, and I remember Heather and Audra come up like, "Hey, Tyler broke his arm." Like, it, literally, he's been outside for 5 minutes. Like, how did he do that? So, I was baffled by it, but apparently he's able to make like, what, two runs? Yeah, that's impressive. So, anyways, he comes in, and he's already broke his arm. 5 to 10 minutes into skiing, he's done. He's forfeited his money. He's not going to be able to enjoy a day of skiing and snowboarding with his friends. I mean, honestly, if I was him, I'd have been pretty upset. I'd have been pretty depressed about it. Everybody's out having fun, and I'm going to be sitting in a hospital bed all day. And so Hunter Busey, being a good friend, says, "Hey, you know what? I don't need it." He gives his gear back. He turns all his stuff in. He says, "I'll go with you." You know, and it doesn't seem like much, but Hunter knew that Tyler needed a friend, and Hunter sacrificed a whole day of skiing, a whole day of being with his friends and out on the mountain or the hill. And so he sacrificed a whole day of this because he was devoted to Tyler. He cared about Tyler, and he was a true friend. I remember all day after that, I was like, "Hunter, you're a good friend." And I probably annoyed him with it because I told him like 25 times, but Other way, he was. And so I ask you, are you surrounding yourselves with these true friends that during those hard times, during those difficult times, you know, will be there right by your side, will love you through it, and will be devoted at all times? Second characteristic of a true friend is honest. They are honest with you. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of an enemy. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And I can simplify this verse into saying that there's going to be people that are going to tell you what you want to hear. There's going to be people that are going to butter you up and sweet talk you and constantly tell you what you want to hear. But a true friend is going to be someone that is going to tell you what you need to hear. They're going to tell you what you need to hear, whether you want to or not, whether you want to hear it or not. And like it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Saying, listen, the truth is going to hurt. The truth is going to be hard. But you know what? It's what's best for you. Faithful are those wounds because that friend loves you, because that friend cares for you enough to be honest with you. It's just interesting. It says, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And if you look biblically, who was the one person that deceived Jesus with a kiss? It was Judas. And we see that Judas sweet-talking him, was deceiving him, was telling him what he wanted to hear. And all along, he was an enemy. He was not his friend. So we see that a true friend, they are going to be honest. They are going to tell you what you need to hear. How many of us in here know who Ulysses S. Grant is? Everybody know? Well, if you don't know, he is a famous war hero from the Civil War, and he was also the 18th president of the United States. But what a lot of people don't know about Ulysses S. Grant is that he was also an alcoholic. He suffered with alcohol addiction. And luckily for Grant, he had a true friend in his life. He had a guy by the name of John Rawlins who stepped in, who was honest with him, who asked him to make a pledge to commit to abstain from alcohol. And General Grant initially agreed, and he did. But the story goes that it wasn't very long after that General Grant broke this pledge. And so at that moment, John Rawlins, he could have easily been frustrated and upset and angry with General Grant because he broke it. He could have walked away and said, you know what, I'm done with you. I don't need you. You know, this is not worth it. But he didn't. He was a devoted friend, but he was also an honest friend. He approached General Grant and said, listen, this alcohol is going to destroy you. It is going to end you. It is going to ruin your life. And what he did is he begged him, he pleaded with General Grant to break this alcohol addiction, to recommit to the pledge that he had made. And General Grant agreed, and he did recommit. And with the help of Rawlins, he was able to free himself from this addiction. And that's a true friend. And what's interesting about that story is if you go to D.C. today, if you go through the Capitol building, you'll see in front of the Capitol building this beautiful, huge statue of General Grant posed up on his horse in this dramatic fashion, and you just see him in all his glory, just how amazing this guy is. And then if you travel down Pennsylvania Avenue a little further, you'll find a very common, a very normal, a very plain-looking statue of John Rawlins, who to us is probably very insignificant. To us, probably don't even know his name before this. But he played a significant impact in the life of General Grant because he was a true friend. And honestly, he played a significant impact in the history of this country because he was able to keep General Grant on track. That's a true friend. That is a true friend. And I'll be honest, this characteristic is probably one of the hardest to live out because we are people that we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, we don't want to step on anybody's toes. We'd rather just kind of go with the flow, not say anything, just in case, because we don't want to make them mad. But what it's saying here is that a true friend will tell them what they need to hear. Not do it in a shameful way, not do it in a condemning way, but do it out of love because they truly care for that person, because they truly, genuinely want to see that person freed from whatever it is. You know, if you're falling, if you see yourself continually falling into sin or, you know, doing the wrong things, you're going to want a friend that's going to step in there and fight with you and tell you, hey, listen, you're not doing what you need to be doing. That's a true friend. So I ask you, are you surrounding yourselves with friends that are honest with you, that are telling you what you need to hear, and not what you want to hear? And are you yourself a friend to the people around you and telling them, being honest and telling them what they need to hear? Because we need to be surrounding ourselves with these type of friends. And then finally, that brings us to our last characteristic of a true friend. Our last characteristic of a true friend is they are encouraging. They are encouraging. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." And I think we all can agree that life is hard, that life is difficult. It will get you down. It will break you. It will make you upset and frustrated and angry. And it's in those times that you're going to want a friend who is devoted, who is honest, but who is also encouraging to you, who, like we've been talking about, will come alongside of you, labor with you, journey with you, and give you aid and give you help because they genuinely care about you. Merriam-Webster describes or defines encourage as simply to inspire courage, to give aid, and to spur on or to give help. And I ask, are you surrounding yourself with people that are inspiring you? Or are you surrounding yourself with people that are bringing you down? You know, I love this analogy, but think about a ladder. If you're on a ladder, which way is much easier? Is it easier to pull somebody up on the ladder, or is it easier to pull somebody down? It's easier to pull them down, right? Gravity takes its work, and it's easier to pull someone down. And so if you're not careful, you can surround yourself with friends that begin to pull you down when you need to be surrounding yourself with friends that are encouraging, that are inspiring you, that are spurring you on, that are helping you. Because I promise you, life will get hard. You know, you will begin to struggle. You will begin to get frustrated and angry. And as I said before, God did not design this Christian thing. God did not design this life thing to be lived in isolation. No, He has created us for relationships because He knows that we need relationships. We need friendships. They truly are vital to our survival. And so I hope that you are surrounding yourself with someone who's encouraging, that when you are struggling, they don't just tell you what you need to do, but they literally come beside of you and work with you. And so you ask, Nick, why is this important? It's just friendship. It's not that big of a deal. Well, it is. God says it. He commands it. We need to be living this out. And if you are a Christian in here, if you are a believer in here, you have experienced the greatest friendship of all. You have experienced the friendship of Jesus. And what I say by that is Jesus, He has come alongside of you. He has been devoted to you. He has been honest with you. He has encouraged you in your time of struggles. You have experienced the greatest friend of all. He's loved you. He's cared for you. He's died for you. He has sacrificed Himself for you. That is friendship. And Jesus tells us, the way that they will know that you are My disciples is by the way that you have love for one another. So are you loving people? Are you loving your friends? Are you genuinely caring for them? Not for what they can do for you, but because you genuinely care for them. You're genuinely devoted and honest and encouraging to them. Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to love. We're called to be good friends. So, as I begin to close, I just want to go ahead and give a little story from my childhood, but I remember when I was growing up that the most times that I was tempted to fall or tempted to do the wrong things or caught myself in the wrong place at the wrong time was usually when I was hanging out with the wrong people, just being honest. When I was surrounding myself with bad company, bad things usually happened. And I think about my friends from high school, and I look back on our relationship, and many of them were, like I said, very selfish, very me-centered. You know, it was all about, hey, let's just hang out. Let's go to parties together. Let's talk about girls. Let's go get in trouble together. And this was our relationship. And if you look on it, that's not a friendship at all. I mean, that's barely a relationship. And I look back now, and sad to say, but I'm not friends with any of them anymore. I'm really not. And it's sad, and it breaks my heart, but it's because we really did not have genuine friendship. It was very surface level. We were not devoted. We were not honest. We were not encouraging to one another. And in Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm." And I've seen with students that majority of times that you guys are falling into error, are doing the wrong things, are continually sinning, majority of the time it can be traced back to, hey, who are your friends? Who are you hanging out with? What people are you surrounding yourself with? Are you surrounding yourself with friends that are pulling you down? Or are you surrounding yourself with friends that are inspiring you, that are pushing you forward, that are spurring you on? Because those are the friends that we need. And the proverb says, he who walks with the wise becomes wise. So I would encourage you to choose your friends wisely, to make wise decisions in who your friends are. Because true friendship truly is vital to our survival. And I'm going to close with a story from World War I. I read it the other day, and it is just an unbelievable story of friendship. But the story goes that this company or this group of soldiers found themselves under attack or under heavy gunfire from opposing forces, and so they began to retreat, okay? And so they were retreating, and this guy realized, hey, my best friend, he's caught in the middle of the action. He's out there. I've got to go back for him. So he asked his lieutenant, he said, "Lieutenant, can I please go back for my friend? He's out there in the middle." And the lieutenant agrees. He says, "Yeah, son, you can. That's not a problem. But I'm telling you right now, it's probably not going to be worth it. Your friend is probably going to be dead by the time you get to him." He says, "I don't care." And so he turns around and he begins to run after his friend. And right in the middle of the action, right in the middle of this gunfire and all this chaos, he finds his friend. He hoists him on his back and he carries him back to safety. And as he's carrying him, he is wounded in the process. So he stumbles back in, and the lieutenant looks and he says, or he sees that the friend actually is dead. And he looks at the guy, the soldier, and he says, "You know, son, I told you that wasn't going to be worth it. You know, your friend's dead, and you wounded yourself in the process. That was not worth it." And he looked at the lieutenant and he said, "Sir, I disagree." He said, "As soon as I got to my friend, he was still alive. And the last thing that he said to me was, 'Thank you. I knew you were never going to leave me.'" And so what we see here is just this beautiful picture of true friendship. Well, this man was devoted to his friend. In that time of adversity, although it was very a short time that he had left, he had a friend that cared for him, that loved him, and that really genuinely was friends with him. And so I ask again, you know, are we friends that are devoted? Are we friends that are honest? Are we friends that are encouraging one another? Because they truly are vital to your survival. And you say, "Well, Nick, you know, I don't know how to make friends. I'm not very good at making friends." Or, "Hey, you know, I realize from tonight I don't have that good of friends, but I want to make better ones." We have placed you guys in a small group setting where you have 8 to 10 to 12 people that are your peers that are hopefully pursuing Jesus alongside of you. And my advice is, make friends with them. You know, these people are living life just like you are and hopefully pursuing Jesus just like you are. Be friends with them. Make a friendship where you're devoted, where you're honest, where you're encouraging one another. Good biblical friendships centered around Christ, where you genuinely care for one another. And you will see that you will begin to have a beautiful community and just a wonderful fellowship with and in of each other. So like I said, true friendships, I don't want us to throw them under the rug. I don't want us to continue to think friendship's not that important. Or, you know, God commands that we be good biblical friends. And I pray that we are wise in our decisions and begin to choose good biblical friends, because it truly is vital to our survival. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we will be dismissed. Father, we thank you for tonight. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that it's true. And God, we thank you so much that you have built in us a desire for relationships. God, because on our own, we would fail. On our own, we couldn't do it. But God, you have orchestrated this whole thing to where, Father, we are meant to be in relationship and fellowship with one another. Because God, we need people. We are not meant to be in isolation. And God, I pray for these students. I pray that they truly see that. And they would begin to pursue good biblical friendships, God, because That's what you want from us. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you, God, that you made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, God, so that in you we can be righteous. Father, we thank you so much for the righteousness that we have received through Jesus. We pray all in his name. Amen.